my first goal is to feel that I've done Attila in a good manner, and to feel that everything feels extremely good at a start, and that I'm happy with the whole race and so on and how it turns out.
Welcome to the Low Tide Boys, a Swim Run podcast. I'm Chip.
And I'm Chris, and this is episode 158 of the show. We have a great one this week. Joining us in Studio G is the one and only Amanda Nielsen. She's one of the world's best swim runners and is just an amazing person. We had a great chat. It's her first ever podcast appearance. Pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Honored.
Yep. And we can't wait to share our conversation with all of you.
But first, training update. So if you haven't heard, us Californians are experiencing quite the rainpocalypse. Yeah. Bomb cyclones, atmospheric rivers, and just overall wetness.
Tons.
And it's been pretty hard, honestly, to rally to train outside in the torrential rains and gusty winds, 30, 40 miles an hour winds, all sorts of things like that. So luckily, we're still at the beginning of our first build phase of the year. So we're staying indoors, maybe on the bike, maybe busting out some more Cosmic Kids yoga with the family, all sorts
good,
of stuff like
I'm a big
that.
Big fan of Cosmic Kids yoga.
We were doing some My Little Ponies.
Oh.
Yeah, yesterday.
Okay.
It was really, you know, you got to get the wiggles out when everyone's stuck inside, myself included.
Yeah.
Ourselves included. And so some of these runs are borderline swim runs, honestly.
Yeah,
shoes
I was actually
getting soaked.
I was thinking, I mean, I totally chickened out this morning, but if I didn't chicken out, and I would have thought more,
it was going to be a
second
swim
thought
run.
Other than like, hell nah. The second thought would have been like, oh, I should put on the VIG suit for this or something.
I thought it'll also keep you warm too.
Yeah,
a little bit. Yeah. So now on to this week's shout outs and feats of endurance combo for a marquee award.
This is an important announcement.
Very important.
So we're doing a combo this week to shout out our friend Henrik Forsell for doing a swim run in January in Sweden. There was snow on the ground and ice and stuff, but also for doing at least one swim run a month for now 27 consecutive months.
Wow.
Yeah. It's at once genius and insane to get out there in Stockholm year-round, no matter what. You know, some of these have been the world championship, you know, in mm-hmm. September. That was the one for that month. So these are legit swim runs. The one he did in January just this past weekend was about an hour and a half. I mean, I would have done it. I'm trying to
That's
keep
an
that
hour
streak.
And a half more than
I'm
I
going
did.
Like 20 minutes. I'm like, hey, streak met. Anyway, it's an impressive feat for sure. And worthy of us to make him the second. Da, 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 da. I'm sure you can add something better like Oscar music or something.
Okay, I'll get some nice applause.
So anyway, we're going to induct him. And he's going to be the second inductee into the Low Tide Boys Feats of Endurance Hall of Fame. Amber Ferreira is the only other inductee, and there's no real criteria to get in. There's no...
You just have to impress us.
Just have to impress us. Or, you know, in 3 years, this is the second person, so, you know, it's a high bar. But congrats, Henrik. Inspirational, dude. Amazing.
Yes.
And I found out about this on our Strava club. So
you're in the Strava club. You went to Strava, you searched Low Tide Boys, and now you're in there with all other swim runners from around the world as they train for life and stuff like that.
I see someone like Marcus being like, oh, I'm going to start one of these streaks.
Oh, really?
I can see him doing it.
Well, we put it out, so now it's in, maybe that will manifest into something.
Maybe.
Maybe not, though.
Never know.
Now for this week in swim run. Now for the news bit. We're swap. I'm at the news desk now. Chris is at the shout outs feast of endurance desk. So our good friends at Hero Swim Run recently unveiled a nice new logo and announced the date of this year's swim run, April 15th, 2023. So if it's possible for you, after you're done submitting your taxes to the IRS here in the States, make your way down to Rio de Janeiro and report back. By the way, if you want to learn more about what all Hero Swim Run and its founder, Fabio Escandara, is about, be sure to check out episode 61 of the show there.
It's a good one.
We had a great chat with Fabio there.
Yeah.
That dude brings a ton of energy to the swim run scene. Yeah. For sure.
He is like, you know, he's definitely the sworn godfather of Brazil.
Yes. He's the Brazilian Jonas Colting of sorts, if we had to relate it to that way.
Yes.
Staying in warmer climates, Swim Run Portugal has shared their 2023 race calendar. They're going to pit on a whopping 7 races this year, starting with their Azores race in March 4th and closing their season at the Madeira race on October 15th. By the way, if you want to learn more about what Swim Run Portugal is all about and their founder, Bruno Safara, we chatted with him all the way in year one of the Low Tide Boys, episode 35 of the show there. Great conversation with Bruno. Again, doing big things in Portugal for swim runs. So be sure to check that show out. And if you're interested in a warm weather swim run, Portugal, it's on the bucket list.
It is.
Last but certainly not least, we head across the pond to our friends in the UK over at As Keen As Mustard Events. And they have their 4 races set for 2023. They're also putting on a mustard training and kit testing event June 3rd at Sibson Lake in the town of Stibbington.
I love these town names.
Stibbington.
I included the town name just because it was Stibbington.
We'll head over to Stibbington and have a cup of tea and do a mustard training and kit event testing.
That was terrible.
On June. That was horrible. I'm sorry. I probably offended many folks from the UK. My apologies. This is such a great idea and a great way to get new folks into swim run and try things out outside of their comfort zone, but also in a very supportive environment. We hear such great things about the events that As Keen As Mustard. And we don't just hear it from everyone in the community. We also heard from founders, mother-daughter duo Nikki and Chelsea Bailey on episode 56 of the Low Tide Boys. So if you're looking to do swim runs around the world or you're in these other countries, we got content for you here. That's it for this week on the show. Reach out to us if there's any swim run news that you'd like for us to share on the show.
Good job.
Now I'm going to keep it over here on the news desk for a little bit of show business. So we know it's January. Everyone's full of it. Got lots of big goals.
They're full of it.
They're
all
full
right.
of it. Everyone's got lots of big goals and excitement for this year. And there's a lot of new people who might be checking out Swim Run for the first time. So we just want to kind of orient everyone here and let a lot of new people know who are listening to the show some of the resources that we do have to help you in your journey in the swim run, into Swim Run. So the first place to start is probably our website, lowtideboys.com. We have all sorts of written and video guides, tutorials, episode summaries, swag, and so much more there. Also, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for all sorts of videos. We have our podcast audio in there. If you prefer to consume on YouTube, you can do that. We also have gear reviews about some of the new shoes, wetsuits, pull buoys, how to mount them, transitions, all sorts of stuff. We're really trying to help you all get up to speed on Swim Run. And on Facebook, if you're looking for a group there, we have the Swim Run Swap Meet, which is for selling, buying, borrowing, gently used, or potentially new Swim Run gear. And somehow, if you are not following us over on Instagram and you need a laugh, daily. You need a daily laugh in your life?
Nearly daily.
Check on our memes that we're dropping on IG. We've also been doing some Reels content around some of this gear. So show announcements, other random stuff, giveaways, you know, Low Tide Boys training sessions, all sorts of stuff. So make your way over there to Instagram, follow along, check out lowtideboys.com, link in the show notes. Now, without any further ado, let's get into our chat with swim runner Amanda Nielsen.
Yeah, it was really great to chat with her. She's an incredible athlete, and hearing how she improved her swimming to match her amazing running was actually pretty inspiring. It's like, okay, you can be like an adult learned swimmer and actually get pretty good at this stuff. In this conversation, we chatted about how she found Swim Run, where she finds her intense drive to compete, what it's like to race with some of the best swim runners in the world, and a whole lot more. We say this a lot, but she's incredibly easy to root for, and we look forward to seeing her swim run exploits next year.
Yeah, absolutely. It was really cool to have her kind of walk through her experience. Relatively new to the sort of swim endurance sort of game. So it was really cool to hear her journey over there and how she discovered swim run and how she started dominating, basically.
Yeah, like if you need, if you're looking for a partner in the mixed division or women's division, she's like
win?
Your first call. Yeah, if you want to win.
Call her up. Dial up 1-800-AMANDA.
She was
She'll
great.
Get you set.
She was great. Yeah, we had a great chat. It was, you guys, everyone's going to enjoy it.
January, strong month for the Low Tide Boys.
Too strong.
For sure. The bar is so high. I can't even see it anymore. Anyway, without further ado, let's jump into our conversation with Amanda Nielsen.
All right, so very excited to join to have a new member join the show. It's her first podcast, so I'm actually pretty nervous about it. But welcome to the show, Amanda Nielsen. It's so great to have you.
Thank you. It's so much fun to be a part of this podcast. And yeah, as you said, it's the first time I'm in a podcast, so I'm a bit nervous, but I hope you'll be kind to me.
Oh, yeah. No, this is going to be great. So for folks that don't know, you know, Amanda is just an amazing athlete, an incredible swim runner, has raced with a ton of different partners, and has just a ton of experience. So what we would like to do is kind of like, we want to get into all that. But Amanda, why don't you tell us a little bit about sort of your athletic background and kind of how you found swim run?
Yeah, it's a kind of long history. When I was a small child, I tried most different sports. And I continued the longest with football and horse riding. And then I ended up with that and continued on just doing my own training on the gym and running a bit and so on. And then I came into CrossFit and obstacle course racing. I started to work out with some friends that, yeah, were doing CrossFit and obstacle course racing. I started with that, and then I realized that, yeah, I did really good or pretty good in obstacle course racing, but I realized it wasn't due to that I did obstacles so good. I was a pretty fast runner in trails and so on. So I had some good podiums and so on just due to I was a good runner. I was pretty bad on obstacles. So I started to do some trail runnings, and it went very good. And then the first time I was in contact with swim run, it was when they arranged a swim run here in my hometown in Karlstam, a swim run called 2xU Island Challenge. So I didn't know that swim run existed before this race. So I've heard of it, and I thought that it sounded pretty interesting. And I had some friends, oh, shouldn't we team up and go? And I'm like, no, no way. It's swimming, and I hated water, and I was afraid of the water, and I never swam. So I'm like, no, no way. But I was out on this day, the first year that it was arranged, and it looked so amazing, and I was so inspired. And then I decided that, yeah, next year I will do this, and I will try to learn how to swim, and try to be comfortable in the water, and so on. And but that was a long trip, and I've struggled so much with the water and with the swimming, and it took a long time for me to just be able to be in the water with my face under the water, because I was really uncomfortable and feeling scared when I was in the water. So I've really struggled a lot with the swimming, and I'm still am. I'm not afraid anymore, but I have a hard time learning the technique and so on. And I usually say I've always had very easy with sports, and I've always had pretty easy to learn how to do different kind of sports, but not when it comes to swimming. It's been very hard. But yeah, But coming back to the question, the year after I did this race, and I did it with my brother, because then I thought I was a better runner than him, he was not a better swimmer, because he hadn't swam that much before either, but he always liked the water and he wasn't afraid of the water as I was. So I thought that if we both do this together and we practice swimming, and then he can like be a help in the water and I can like push a bit more in the run, so we could complement each other pretty good. But that was a big mistake.
Wow, that took a turn.
That was a great punchline there. Nice work.
We still haven't talked since that.
No, he's still out there somewhere. Yeah,
there's a tether floating and he's on the other end somewhere.
Haven't seen him since. No, but we weren't that good friends during the race. I mean, I've always been very like competitive, and I like to win and so on. And my brother is the totally opposite of me. He can go out just like enjoy a nice ride and take a fika and so on on a competition, and stay for like an hour on each energy station and just have a chat with someone there and so on.
It's a social event. Event.
Exactly. And I like that part too. When
it's over.
When it's all done, yeah.
Competition. And and I was pretty mad at him already at the beginning, because I realized that if I'm going to survive this race, I really need to practice swimming. Mm-hmm. So I started to practice swimming like 4 or 5 times a week.
Okay.
And he's like, oh, it solves. It solves itself. And he started like swimming 2 weeks before the event.
Oh, boy.
So I was so, so angry at him that he didn't take this more serious.
Yeah.
So, we didn't meet each other with the same ambitions and so on there. So
it's a good lesson in choosing the right partner as well.
Yeah, we talk about it all the time. Yeah. You got to have your goals aligned.
And just because you're aligned on the same family tree doesn't mean you're going to be a great partner either.
Exactly. Yeah. We haven't done more races since that. And I will never... I will never do a race with him again, me and both for him as well, because we have a pretty good relationship now, and I think it's not worth
it. It's not in the swim run atmosphere, yeah.
Just keep it on land.
Well, that's exactly. What an impressive journey from an adult onset swimmer doing your first one, and then this year I see here you did 8 swim runs on the steps of the podium for each one. So how did you catch the bug, so to speak? Was it this first event with your brother, or was there another event that got you a little bit more inspired to dive in head first?
Yeah, it wasn't. I actually didn't think this race was so much. The race is so much fun. I can really recommend the race, but I didn't think it was so much fun when competing with my brother. But it was 1 year after this, I had a question from a guy. He was orienteerer and a swim runner, and he had done a lot of races. And he was making he was one of the first making those paddles with carbon paddles. Mm-hmm. He was called Daniel Liljedahl, and he had his paddles called Race Paddle. And he wrote to me and he said, oh, I see that you have started to do some swim runs, and you are such a good trail runner. So I think just if you can learn how to swim good and use the right the right tools and so on to use paddles and pull buoy. He introduced me to that, because before that, when I did this first race with my brother, we didn't use anything, I think. Maybe we had small paddles, but otherwise we hadn't anything, any tools or something. But he said that, yeah, let's practice on your swimming. I can help you with that, and I'll let you know what tools you need to wear, and then let's team up for a race and see how that is. And I'm like, yeah, of course, if you want to. You haven't seen me swimming yet, so but if you want to, of course, I really want to learn how to swim and to be a better swimmer. I said, yes, let's go if you want to. And and we did a race. We did Immel swim run. Mm-hmm. And we actually won that race. And wow. It went very good. And I'm like, oh, this is swim run. It's
this is where you caught the bug, I think.
And it was, I remember that feeling when we swam past other teams, and I'm like, shit, this is so cool. I was behind him then, so I had his help, but it was such a cool feeling to actually be able to swim past other teams, because I've never experienced that before. What happened after that? We didn't do more races after that, unfortunately, because he sadly passed away just some months after. I think it was that he had a heart attack or something while swimming in the pool. So it was pretty horrible. But I still use his paddles. And I still have them with me. And then I came in contact with Kenny Mayer. He did this race in Immel as well. Mm-hmm. And he had done several Ötilöa at that time. And we knew each other a bit because we ran for the same running club.
Okay.
So we have met sometimes before, but he mostly run flat ground races, and I mostly run did trail runs, so we hadn't been meeting that much before, but we knew each other, and he sent me a question if I wanted to try to team up and do Ötilö the year after that. And I thought that he was such a great athlete, and he was he's such a fast runner, and I know he was a very good swim runner as well. So my first thought was like, what are you thinking? Why do you want to have me around and drag me around? I was just thinking of me running around with my brother hanging back. It wasn't fun at all. And I'm like, why do you want to team up with me? And but he was pretty clear that, we try, you put some effort in your swimming. And then, I mean, he said that, you are the best trail runner on the start line. No doubts. So if you just can manage to swim okay and to be able to lie on my feet in the swims, I think we can do pretty well.
Now at this point, was Ötilö already on your radar, so you knew what that was all about?
Ötilö was on the radar, but I was like, it's such a long course. Yeah. And I mean, at that time, I was mostly running races on 20 kilometers. Mm. I mean, even swim run, as I did with Daniel, I think it was like 30 kilometers or 35 at that time. But that felt good. But I mean, Oslo is a bit longer.
Mm-hmm. But, a bit.
Yeah, Oslo was the plan. But he said like, yeah, let's do Uto, and we take it from that. And yeah, I'm like, yeah, fine. I was doing swimming 6-7 times a week.
Wow.
At that
time. Wow, really?
Really, nice. But I just swam with paddles and pool boy, so I became a pretty good I can't say that I'm a good swimmer, because I really don't think I am compared to a lot of others, but I became an okay swimmer. And but I'm totally useless without paddles and pool boy.
Yeah, so you're like a swim run. You're a swim run swimmer, but not exact. You know, you're not gonna go do the backstroke or the, you know, butterfly stroke in the pool or anything.
You won't see me do that.
Same. Don't even know how to do them.
So this is in
2000. This is 2021?
2019.
19, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Uta, okay.
2019, yeah. And yeah, we did Uta, and I had like no expectation. But I was really looking forward to it, and I thought that it would be very fun. We just went away, and as always, when it's Uta, it's very cold. I could manage it pretty good, and yeah, we came in, we won the mixed class, and I think we came like 4 in total, and that was like I couldn't even dream of that. Yeah, and I think we had Martin Flinta and Helena Karaskova before us, after us there, and everyone was thinking that they were going to win. And I think we had them with like 15 minutes. And
wow.
Everyone, So we had no expectations there, but I had no expectations. And I think I didn't really realize that we did pretty good on that race. It took a while before I realized that we had a pretty good time as well, and yeah, everything went good. But it was, like I said, it was thanks to Kenny. He was very strong, and he always is very strong when competing with him, and so fast. And I just tried to follow him as good as I could, and it went well. I couldn't walk for 1 or 2 weeks after that. I wasn't used to that speed during that long distances, and the cold, I wasn't used to that either, but it was worth it. And we did some more races that year, and we won everything that we competed
wow.
in. But then I get injured, so I didn't... I couldn't do Ötulö, and that was I was so sad, because I was really, really looking forward to it at that point. And we did it in Then it Corona came.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that
did
disrupted
it.
Everything.
Yeah.
But then, you did race Ötulö with Kenny in 2021.
Yeah, exactly. But I always try to forget about it. But it was a tough day.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, that race is just it's such a magical thing, but it's also like so hard, which adds to the magic, but it also adds to the intrigue, I guess, because there's so many things. You're out there for so long that so many things can happen. You can be having a great day, then having a crappy day, then having a great day again, and
you'll likely get it all.
Yeah.
Exactly. And everything felt so good the first 50 kilometers. And I think that was the longest race we did before that was 50 kilometers. And I think that I was pretty safe from 0 to 50 kilometers, but I didn't really know what would happen the last kilometers. Yep. And then also the first part of Ötulö is a lot of trails and so on, and that was my kind of strength. Mm-hmm. And it was very cold that year as well. So for those who don't remember what happened, I was getting unconscious just like I think it was 600 meters before finish line. So Kenny, and that at that time we were second. When I just I can't remember anything. I mean, I have from Orne and forward. It's a lot of things that I can't remember. Wow. And like from 600 meters to finish line, I don't remember anything. So I was woken up like half an hour before we passed the finish line because we passed the finish line, but Kenny carried me over the finish line. And on that time it took for him to carry me those 600 meters to the finish line, we were passed by, I think it was two or three teams, so we didn't reach the podium, which was kind of, it was pretty annoying when having that long day. And then if I would just be able to like walk for 600 meters, we should have come in second or third. But I wasn't conscious, so my legs just they stopped working, and it was already on Orne. I felt that my thighs, they were like not cramping but like getting stuck, so I felt like I can't lift my legs. And I'm like, oh yeah, we've been out for a pretty long time and it's cold in the water and so on. I mean, I guess it's how it feels after.
Yeah, that's what happens.
Yeah.
So I'm like, yeah, keep on going. But then it became worse and worse. And I mean, just the smallest hills, it was like I almost couldn't lift my legs. And I remember the last thing I remember was I came to that part when my legs couldn't carry me, so I just fell. And then I remember Kenny asked me something like, "Are you okay?" or something. I'm like, "Oh yeah, I'm okay." And then I remember him helping me up, and then we were trying to move forward again, and then I can't remember anything else. And I guess I think we was on Utö then, but I mean the two last islands, I can't remember anything from the two last islands, because I realized that this year when I was doing Ötulö this year, and I'm like, I can't realize how I managed to pass those islands because the two last islands,
they're super hard. Yeah,
Easy. Well, like climbing on the rocks and so on, and I'm like, I can't realize how I managed to get past that, because I was totally out of conscious when I did it with Kenny.
Does sort of taking your body to that limit sort of help you expand your mind of like what's capable for yourself? Because like you said, I mean, these are treacherous islands that you're traversing when you're sort of mentally out of it, but physically you still made it through. Does that kind of give you a new baseline of like, oh, I can push it this much harder, this much further? Or how do you sort of take those experiences and use them?
Yeah, good question. I I don't really know. I at that point I thought that it was just like it was due to that I have been out for several times, so it's just a body that is tired and like no excuses. I mean, it wasn't. I mean, Otelo is not hard like with stamina and so on. I mean, it's you're not that in that high intensity. But of course, I didn't realize that I would be able to push myself to unconsciousness. But I think that's really more. I would say I would not say that I'm afraid of doing it. But I think that now I know the signals. So I think that I would stop before I reach that line again.
I mean, what I'm hearing is that, and I'm curious to get your take on it, kind of. I mean, you sound like just like the ultimate competitor, right? Like you went beyond your limit, so far beyond you didn't remember what happened, and you were just willing to go there. And that's not everyone. So I'm curious, kind of where does this, I mean, it looks like you like to win, you like to compete and give it your best. Like where does this come from? Was it, you know, just always within you, or is that something that developed over time?
I think it's always been into me. I'm very competitive, and I've always had very high demands on myself when it comes to everything. I mean, everything that I do and that I put some effort in, I want to do as good as I just can. And it comes to everything. When it was that in school, I wanted to do well in school. And now it's when working, I have my own company and working a lot, and I want to do as good as I can there, and the training as well. I want to do as good as I can there. So I have pretty high demands on myself, and I've always had. And I guess it comes from that.
Gotcha. So, you know, so you have this experience in 2021. 2022, I think it's safe to say, was a pretty banner year for you. I mean, a lot of racing with different partners, and kind of it was almost like a Desiree situation, which is ironic because you also raced with her and did well. But Desiree seems to be able to, you know, elevate whatever partner she's with their performance and then win for the most part. And it seems the same thing with you. So I'm curious, going into 2022, like, did you already know Adriel and Victor, and how did you get hooked up with them to do the races that you did with them?
I mean, it's during the last 2 years. I mean, the swimrun community, it's so familiar, and you get to learn people pretty fast, I think. But I didn't know Adriel that well, and I didn't know Victor that well, and I didn't know Desi as that well either before this year. We spoke sometimes and like had some contacts and so, but I didn't know them, I would say. I can't really. I mean, I had the question from Adriel this year because he knew that he wouldn't compete in the men's category, and he knew that he would do one water race. He thought that he wanted to do Ötula, but he thought that if I compete in the mixed class, it's not that hard as competing in the men's class. He asked me if I wanted to go, and at that point I said, yeah, of course, I would love to do Ötula, but wouldn't you do one water race? And he's like, yeah. But wait, wasn't it like 1.5 weeks before Ötula?
Oh my word.
Yeah.
Okay, wait. So I have some questions here because we've had April on before. I feel like we know him pretty well. So you agree to do Otello with him. Did you already know that he was doing the One Water race? And did you already have? Did you already think he was crazy for thinking that that you would do Otello a week and a half later?
Yeah, I knew that he was planning to do One Water race. And I think he was crazy when he said I would do it as well. But when I said that to him, that I, are you really sure? He's like, yeah, I feel it. I think that I can recover and I can do well on Otello. And I'm like, oh, I'm not worried about you not doing well on Otello. It's more your health I'm concerned about. As I said to him, if you would do One Water race 3 days before Otello, it doesn't matter. It would be so much fun to do Otello with you, because even if he would do One Water race just some days before Otello, he's so strong, he's so talented, and he can brings out the best of you, and he's such a great team partner. He's so good to team up with. So I'm like, for me, I'm not like concerned about you not performing on Otello. It's no concern at all. It's just your health in that way that I'm concerned about. But he said, oh, I'm okay. And I'm like, yeah, then let's do it. And I said clearly to him that if you feel that even, because he didn't know how he would react and how he would feel after One Water race. So I just said that if you have some concerns, or if you feel that I'm not capable of pulling off Otello after One Water race, then don't hesitate to say that, and I will not have any hard feelings about that. He was very determined to do both, and I can't realize how he managed to do it, but he did.
Yeah, he did. He's a pretty amazing guy. That's for sure. But I'm sure. It seems like I think the word is out that you're a really good swimmer and partner is my guess. So he was like, okay, if I'm gonna do this ridiculous thing, I think if I do it with someone like Amanda, that's gonna increase my likelihood of success.
For sure.
Oh, I'm not sure.
So you raced with Adriel five times this year, four times before Otello, and that I assume Otello is your A race there, and that was kind of like, let's get this partnership, let's get some legs, let's get some miles on this partnership, and you had some great results, podiums along the way with Adriel, including the very chilly Uto this year.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Uto, it was extremely chilly this year, and I always have a hard time with the cold, but never when competing in swimrun, because I'm always so cold, and I have so much problems with my hands when it's cold, and I lose the sensitivity, and I can't use my hands when it's cold. So I actually don't know how it was possible for me to push through this year when it was so chilly. But I think it was like the same thing we were talking about before. When it's race mode, it's race mode. And I think I just, all the emotions and all the feelings that's not are necessary in the racing, I have some kind of capability to just lay them at the side, I think. So yeah. I just, yeah.
That's it's a very similar phrasing and sort of framing up to when we talked to Kristen Larson, actually, when we were we interviewed them and Adriel and Daniel after the One Rada race. She said the same situation is like, you know, during races, you'll think about your kids or whatever. It could be food or anything. And you're just able to really quickly just turn it off or kind of dampen that thought, which really enables, I think, a lot deeper, performance, I suppose. And you raced a bunch of different formats. So you have Attila on the longer end for sure, but then you also race with Victor on the EX swim run, which is one of Chris and I's kind of favorite new formats, the sort of the super sprint style. How did you like that, especially coming from more of a running background where you could really give it the gas?
Yeah, I'm not a sprinter, not at all. I have almost the same speed at 1 kilometer as I have in 21 kilometers. So, and I'm not that fast compared to others when it's flat running, actually. Okay. So my strength is literally in the forest and when it's a bit longer distances. And the same thing with the swimming. I mean, I still have this, I said that I passed this feeling of being afraid in the water, but if I come into water with an extremely high pulse and I'm about to just swim as fast as I can for just some few meters,
yeah,
I'm totally useless. And I can't, I mean, I swim faster when I like take it like a half shell and just focus on how I really swim, than when I'm trying to push as hard as I can. So this concept with the super sprint, I really love the idea, and it's so much fun to watch, and it was fun to be a part of it, but it's not my kind of thing.
Yeah,
I'm.
Sounds like the longer, like the longer the better.
yeah. But it was very fun. But it was more fun to team up with Victor and do the Idsvik and experience. It was a very, very fun course, and I think the first 3 kilometers that I run there with Victor, I was faster there, and then when I was running the 1 kilometer sprint. So,
oh, right. That, don't they have an uphill sprint finish on that one too?
Yeah,
I believe.
Yeah.
Diabolical. And you were you've been racing in the mixed category, and then it looks like at Attila Inkaden, you had a chance to race with the legend herself, Desiree.
Legend. Yeah. How did that come about?
It was Desiree who asked me to, or asked if I wanted to come with her. And I couldn't say no. I mean, just to have the question from Desiree, and then to go to Engadin. I couldn't say no. So
Have world champions just constantly knocking at your door wanting to swim with you.
I don't know I don't know what they see in me.
Well, let me ask you, did you feel the pressure?
I wouldn't been asking them, because I'm very happy that all the ones that I've been competing with, that they have asked me, because in my world I'm not as good as they are, and my thought is that, like, why should they want to compete with me, because they are so much better. But
well, I think they know something. Yeah, they know something that everyone else knows. I think that you're an amazing athlete. Now, was that nervous for you? Because I mean, Desiree is not asking me to do anything with her, and if she did, I'd tell her no, just to put her out of her misery. But like, she's won every single Engadin there is. You know, she knows that course like the back of her hand. Was that like added pressure for you to be like, oh my goodness, now I have to race with like the world's best and hopefully not ruin her win streak?
No, actually not. As I said, it was an honor to race with her, but I think we talked about a lot before the race and planned how to do. And I mean, I'm pretty strong in uphills and in trail runs, and I think that is my strength. And this year she's a lot better swimmer than what I am, so that was her strength. So I think we were pretty comfortable with that. Yeah, we complement each other pretty well in Engadin, because I can help and push a bit more in the hills and in the trails, and then she can push a bit more in the swims. So when we were thinking about how the course looks like in Engadin, I think we were pretty comfortable with that. Yeah, I think we can complement each other here pretty good. So we probably will do pretty well here if nothing happens. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I think we felt both pretty comfortable, and we thought that yeah, let's go out and have a nice day and enjoy the beautiful course, because Engadin, it's amazing.
Yeah, it's on our list for sure of races to go do for the same thing. I think like I really like the hilly trail stuff. Anything with elevation, and that race, ever since we learned about it, has kind of captivated us. Mm-hmm. Did you train with Desiree before the race? Did you meet up to do like a training camp or anything? Or was the first time you raced together was really the first time you were tethered up?
Yeah, it was the first time. We arrived like, I think it was 2 days before the race. So we just we had some small sessions before, just swam together and did some running, and we're just talking. But otherwise, no, it was the first time.
Nice.
How did you like racing in the women's class? That was a new experience for you, and look, you have always raced in the mixed.
Yeah, it was so much fun, and yeah, as I said, due to that, my swimming is my weakness. I really enjoy participating with good swimmers, and this fish is an amazing swimmer. So it was so much fun to compete with her, and I think when competing with her, I won't say it's not. I mean, it's not that much difference to when competing in mixed. I don't think. No, it's. I think it's. It was very good, but I mean, it depends a lot on more. It depends more on like individually, not much. Due to teams, or if I competing mixed or women's, I think, yeah,
that makes sense. Yeah, it's like it's just the person, whether regardless of the category, is the sort of the experience with your partner, regardless of their gender.
Yeah. So the most important thing is that you complement each other pretty good in your like strengths and weaknesses, and that you can help each other, and that you have a good time together with your partner. And
that's that most important.
Good persons and all the ones that I'm competing with is very good persons. So yeah.
So you had an amazing result, and then you and Desiree sort of teamed up again for a race that, I mean, it just looks like such a ridiculous thing to go to the island of Reunion to do a swim run off the coast of Africa. Like, had you ever been to that island before? And you know, tell us a little bit about what that experience was like.
Yeah, that was kind of fun, actually. I didn't know that this island existed.
Neither.
I learned about it last year when they did that.
But it was very amazing. So, but I had a question from Desiree if I wanted to go to La Reunion, and she said it's like it's French, and I'm like, oh, I had so much.
Oui.
I had so much. It was a pretty hectic period for me there, so I didn't really had the time to do the research. So I just Googled La Reunion, and I saw the pictures, and I'm like, oh yes, let's go. I do whatever it takes to be able to be free from work, and let's go. And I'm like, yeah, the competition was on the Sunday, and I'm like, oh, then I think I can just have like 4 or 5 days free from work or something. And yeah. I mean, it's France, it's not that long with flight. So when I suggested this, I thought that La Reunion, it was in the south of France. And then when I had the flight tickets from Paris, I saw it was 11 hours in the from Paris. And I'm like, France is not that long.
Like, something's wrong with this globe they're using. Yeah.
So I Googled again, and then I realized, oh God, this island, it's in the middle of the Indian Ocean. So,
wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't realize that it was such a long trip. But that maybe was good, because if I knew, maybe I wouldn't say yes, because I had pretty much work that time. And so I needed to be free some more days than I first planned. But it was totally worth it, and I would love to go there again and to be there for some more days, because now I was there only for a few days, and it was wonderful. It was so much to see and to experience, and I would love to go to come back.
Yeah, I mean, that race looks. I mean, anytime you mention something that kind of looks like a tropical swim run, you're for it.
Exactly.
So you had a, you know, basically you had an amazing 2022, but you also mentioned that you know, and your sort of your end of the year Instagram post, you were kind of burnt out and you raced a lot, and so can we talk a little bit about like how you're sort of dealing with that, and how do you kind of get yourself centered again for swim run season this year, and what does that look like for you?
Yeah, I really haven't planned this year yet, and I really don't know actually what to do or what to races or so on. But my main focus now have been to not say yes to that much work that I did last year. It was like I said before, I really want to do as good as I can in everything that I do. And I have my own company where I'm working as a physiotherapist and the strength and conditioning coach and personal trainer and so on, and work as a consultant to a football team that play in the highest men's team here in Sweden, and they are I'm on every training and every game, and they have games around the whole Sweden, so it's a lot of travelings. And
wow,
I have like it's
very demanding.
Yeah,
life you have.
Yeah, and after that, I take some patients and clients here and work with them, and then I am doing a master in sports science, and I have a lot of things going on. And I mean, last year it was full speed from 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. all days. And I mean, I always want to do my training because I really feel good when I have my trainings. If I wouldn't be doing my running and swimming and everything that I do, I wouldn't be able to handle my work. But it can be too much even of the good things. And I really love my work, and I love what I do, and I love to read and to study and so on. But last year it became too much. So I didn't have any time to recovery, and I was feeling pretty out of energy during some parts of the year, and especially during the last part of the year. And I recognized me having low iron values, so it was during Ötilo Gothenburg. I felt that something here is very, very wrong. I remember the boat out to the start. I was just feeling, please, just let me sit here and don't. I have no energy to do a race today. I have no energy to swim or to run. And then when just like a week after that, I planned to go out for a jog, but I couldn't start jogging. My body was just screaming, and I could barely just get out from the sofa or I was totally out of energy. And I have had that feeling before, that like the energy is gone, but and that's been due to a lot of work and to a lot of training. But this time it was some kind of other tiredness that I didn't really recognize. And then I let's go and take a blood sample and see. And then I realized it was low iron values, and this was like 1.5 weeks before Ötilö. So I was pretty concerned. I'm like, because at that point I couldn't even jog because the body was just screaming. But then it was nice to realize that it was iron. So I just eat a lot of ions. What do you say? Ion pills.
Yeah. Gotcha.
And dark leafy green vegetables.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
they have a lot of iron.
Yeah.
And red meat, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It became better, but it took pretty long time for it to stabilize. Now it's good again.
It sounds like like a combination of overtraining and then sort of nutritional deficiencies.
Yeah.
And do you think like now going into this year, you have a better handle on all that? You'll be a little bit more mindful about making sure that you're staying within a good healthy zone.
Yeah, I mean, all things last year and in the past there as well. I mean, it's experience, and I try to learn from all experience and try to not do mistakes, the mistakes that I've done before. And I mean, it's I haven't like been competing to this distances and this many races before, and yeah, I mean it's I still learn how my body reacts and what it needs and so on, and
Well, let me ask you this question. Instead of like, what does your 2023 calendar look like? Are there any races out there, swimrun or otherwise, that are sort of on your bucket list that you'd love to get a chance to do, like, you know, one water race maybe, or Rockman or something like that? Like, what does your sort of swimrun bucket list look like?
Not one water race. My first goal is to feel that I've done Ötilö in a good manner, and to feel that everything feels like extremely good at a start, and that I'm happy with the whole race and so on, and how it turns out. It's I don't know, longer than 75 kilometers. I'm not
the cap.
Yeah, that's
the limit.
Take a while. But Rockman looks very interesting as well. So I mean, there's so many swim runs now and so many races I would really love to do. And still, I haven't done that many Ötilö races either. I did Engadin this year. I've done Gothenburg and Ute, but that's the only Ötilö races I've done. Mm-hmm. So there's more to experience there as well.
Also have all the great races in the United States.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Can we recommend Odyssey Swim Run on Casco Bay? In early July.
But there I know it's I realized even before having the flight ticket that it's a long flight to the United States.
It's not as long as going to Africa though.
That's true. But I would really love to do those races as well. It would be so much fun to go there. Absolutely.
Yeah, well, you know, Amanda, we've had you on for a while. We can't thank you enough for taking the time to chat with us. You know, when we met you, I think it was outside of our hotel.
It was.
In Stockholm, and we were basically ran up real quick to get you and Adriel some Low Tide Boys limited edition, Ötilö edition Low Tide Boys hats. And it was so great to meet you then, and you had an amazing race there, and I'm glad that we kept in touch, and so happy we had you on the show. So thank you so much for coming on.
It was my honor. It was so fun and so fun to be a part of it. And I have your hat here over my bed, actually.
Nice.
Oh, great. There, yeah. Glad to hear it's not in the bin.
it's besides all prizes I've had. So
that's warms my heart right there.
Thank you so much. Yeah, and hopefully we'll see you back at Ötilö this year. We'll know on Swimrun Christmas if we
February 2 or 3
if we'll get another shot at that. But until then, happy training, and yeah, we'll be rooting for you.
You too. Thank you so much for having me, and take care, and I hope to see you soon.
Of course. All right. Thanks again.
Thanks.
Well, that's it for this week's episode. Thanks so much for listening to the show. Make sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts and leave a review, since that's the best way to help other people discover the show and the sport of swim run.
Sign up for our newsletter at lowtideboys.com. That's boys with a Z. And check out our meme page at the Low Tide Boys on Instagram. If you have any suggestions for the show or questions for us, send us a DM or an email at lowtideboys@gmail.com.
We'd like to thank Riding Easy Records for our show music, and of course our wives for their support and tolerance of all our swim run activities, podcast, and other stuff.
Yeah, other stuff. Way to keep it PG. Finally, you can support our efforts on Patreon. Until next time, get out there and go for a swim.
Go for a run.
Then another swim.
Then another run.
And then another swim.
And then
another run.
And then just keep going. Until you're done.
Or maybe can't stop.